Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590 Fan. Feeling great after talking to Shane Doan, Jeff Merrick, and then another Hall of Fame player and Hall of Fame guest. I love how he's put down as a Hall of Fame finalist as though he's not going to make it. Torrey Holt's going to join us in a second. We're going to tee up this Rams-Niners game with him. I'm going to start with this, though, since he's not on the line yet. Just quickly, what do you guys think about Sean Payton's all of a sudden departure? Because that's sort of just like, we didn't really have room today in our show to put it off as a one-off between us, between Bonds and the Raptors and the Leafs playing tonight. It kind of, in our market, ended up squeaking under the radar. Level of surprise, Sean Payton. Like, I'd say after Belichick, he's number two, right? He's NFC. He's obviously doesn't have the rings. Relax, Patriots fans. But, like, what do we think?
Yeah, 16 years with the franchise. The way that he talked about what was next, he just said he's kind of taking some time. His heart's not in the right place to say if he's going to coach another team right away. He said it kind of feels good right now, but it was a bit of an emotional press conference. But it kind of sounded like he just needs a change, like change of pace. I don't know. It was surprising, though. I don't think we had ever expected that to be something when we talked about what's next with coaches. But yeah, I think he's leaving with a really good kind of history there. I don't think there's any bad blood or any sadness in terms of things that he could have done better. I think it sounded like he was just ready to start something new.
Am I remembering reporting correctly that he was also like, he has TV gigs lined up pretty safely, so he won't be too far removed from the game?
Can I tell you what gig Sean Payton has lined up? It's next year when the Dallas Cowboys don't win the Super Bowl. They are going to clean house and offer Sean Payton the moon. Like, how many coaches are there right now where their team wouldn't immediately swap their coach out for Sean Payton? Like, four? Five? Max? I would say that right now you'd be looking at it, you'd be going, all right, Kyle Shanahan, maybe Sean McVay, depending on how what goes on this weekend.
Seems like he doesn't want it.
Yeah, we'll see.
For now.
This is what coaches always say. Remember Daryl Morey this past offseason with the Sixers job where he's like, I'm retiring from basketball. And then he's the Sixers
GM. That's true.
Like, come on, Doc Rivers, the same thing. Because, like, the Sixers had two guys who were basically retired. Sean Payton's coming back to football. He'll still coach again, and I think he'll coach the Dallas Cowboys. Maybe he'll coach the LA Rams. If things don't go great, if this keeps going on, if Sean McVay can't get out of Kyle Shanahan's pocket, maybe he's a goner too. Torrey Holt, former NFL wide receiver, 2022 Pro Bowl, Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist and current SiriusXM NFL analyst. Torrey, what's up, man? How we doing?
Good morning. How's everybody?
Good, man. Good. So, like, this is the talk, right? This is the thing about this game. 6-0 for Kyle Shanahan against Sean McVay since 2019. 3-7 overall.
Yeah.
Low scoring games, high scoring games, close games, blowouts. How much pressure is on McVay here? Let's just start with that.
Well, I would say it's pressure on everybody for the LA Rams. You know, they hadn't beaten the San Francisco 49ers. You know, they played, 49ers beat them six times in a row. So this is pressure for everyone. And it's going to be, and Aaron Donald said it, it's going to be a dogfight this weekend between these two football teams, divisional teams, two teams that have a history of not liking each other. And as of the last six times, the 49ers have gotten the best of the Rams. And Kyle Shanahan and his football team, you got to credit them. They've done a really good job against the Rams. I think it's one of the better matchups that the Rams, you know, have faced all year. San Francisco 49ers defensive line is active. It can get after you. Their offensive line is very physical. They like to run the football, establish the line of scrimmage. Deebo Samuel, in my opinion, really sets the tone for this football team. So the Rams have got to be very intentional on stopping the run on first and second downs, being very physical, and then playing really good football on third downs, good coverage, and getting after Jimmy G, making him uncomfortable. A lot like what you saw the Rams do against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They got to mimic that again this weekend against a very good physical San Francisco 49ers football team.
Yeah. So it is obviously like, listen, Sean McVay's not going out there and tossing the rock, right? Like, so he's, but he is the guy that is the at the forefront of this because of that 0-6 since 2019. So I'm going to stick with that for a second. What do you think it is about this matchup that has been so difficult for them? Because again, it's been every different way the Niners have continued to win, and I feel like the consensus narrative is always just that the Niners are too physical for them. But I got to think that that sounds too much like an oversimplification. What is it to you?
No, it's I mean it's certainly the physicality in which the 49ers play. But I think, too, it's also the fact that, you know, they don't quit. You know, Shanahan does a good job of play calling. DeMeco Ryans on the defensive side does a heck of a job of play calling. I mean, Sean McVay, yes, he carries a heavy load, but as well as the players, too, they got to carry out the responsibility. He's got to make sure he's calling the right plays, matching Shanahan in that regard, calling the right plays, putting his football team in favorable positions. But the players got to step up, too. I'm looking forward to, just like everybody else, I'm looking forward to Coach McVay and DeMeco Ryans in that matchup. You know, can he, can they put together a well enough game plan to beat the 49ers? But as the last six times, again, you got to credit San Fran. They've been on point. Even the last game of the week, the last game of the season, when the Rams went up 17-3, I think, in that game, 49ers come back out after halftime, establish the line of scrimmage, and they get back in that game and win it. The Rams have got to be tougher. The Rams have got to be stronger. The Rams have got to out-execute the San Francisco 49ers for four quarters. They got to do it longer than the 49ers. That, to me, is going to be the key. Evenly matched teams, except the L.A. Rams, have to do it longer than San Fran if they want to win.
We're talking to Torrey Holt, former NFL wide receiver, current SiriusXM NFL analyst. And if the Football Hall of Fame has a brain, unlike the Baseball Hall of Fame, he'll be a 2022 Hall of Famer. One guy who did step up in the execution side of things this past weekend, Torrey, is Matt Stafford. 28 for 38, 366 yards, two touchdowns,
yeah,
including that late laser to Cooper Kupp. Do you think, like Stafford is a guy who has not played a lot of playoff games. He's at five now, 3-1 and outs with the Lions, and now, you know, a couple of good games here for St. Louis. How much do you think the perception around him has changed after, you know, going toe-to-toe with Tom Brady basically last week?
You know, and what's up with Major League Baseball leaving out some studs, man, not getting into the Hall of Fame? What's up with that? But anyway, look, Matthew Stafford, job well done last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think he certainly quieted a lot of the critics that were, you know, was not sure if he could perform in that kind of a moment. I think he did that. For me, certainly proud of him. I was one of those critics. He stepped up and showed well. Now, again, let's do it again this weekend in probably the biggest game of Matthew Stafford's life. Can he step up once again, out-duel Jimmy G, control the football, complete the football, throw touchdowns, more importantly, protect the football, not turning it over and giving it back to San Francisco, giving them more chances. But I thought Matthew Stafford last week, particularly in the clutch, particularly late in that game, was so clutch. He stared down the barrel of Ndamukong Suh coming at him, and then he was able to complete that football to Cooper Kupp with great anticipation down the field, setting up the game-winning touchdown. Those plays, as they could, the Rams continue to live on, those kind of plays from Matthew Stafford will have to be made. And I think he has the confidence coming off the next week that he can do that. In terms of talent-wise, Matthew Stafford is one of the best quarterbacks in our league. We know that. No one has – there's not a lot of quarterbacks that have the arm that he has. He can throw the ball from different ways, low, high, sideways, behind his back. I mean, he is that kind of talent. But when you can step up against Tom Brady the way he did on the road, and by the way, the Rams are 7, now 8-2 on the road on the season. Heck of a record by them. And they got a quarterback. If they ever get down, they're not out of it because we've seen Matthew Stafford 43, 44 times come back and win ball games. I just thought last week he was outstanding in the clutch. They'll need that again from him as they go forward, as they try to make their run for the Super Bowl.
Obviously, Stafford's favorite target is Cooper Kupp this season. And we talked to you a couple weeks ago about just how good Cooper Kupp had been, whether he could even get in the MVP discussion. Bit of a quieter game against Arizona, but 9 for 183 last week. Just how difficult is this guy to game plan for? And if you are the 49ers here, what is it you're looking to do to take away that Stafford Kupp combination?
Well, for one, Cooper Kupp is a phenomenal talent. First and foremost, a football head, man. His football IQ is extremely high. That's been well documented this year. But what I think is most impressive, Blake and JD and Ash, is his endurance, the strength that Cooper Kupp has shown. He has over 2,100, almost close to 2,100 yards on the season, 100 and a million catches, and a lot of touchdowns. That requires a lot of endurance. You have to have a great deal of strength in your lower body, your upper body, your mind, and he's been able to do that and been consistent and has been just as clutch as anyone in the National Football this year. That's why I think he should win the MVP. And certainly should win the Offensive Player of the Year. He's just been that good. But the 49ers are going to be physical with him as much as they possibly can. They'll double-team him. They'll zone up on him. So they'll pick their spots with him. But the way Sean McVay uses him and the way they move him around, it's hard to get a bead on him because they move him around. And he's so good with routes. He's got really good hands. He's got to run after the catch. So he's a difficult challenge, man, to deal with every Sunday. The 49ers will do the best that they can. They'll try to contain him the best they can, but it'll be hard to stop him because they move him around so much, and he's so good in different areas, very consistent with his hand, just very consistent football player. It'll be a challenge for the San Francisco 49ers, for sure.
Tori, the same people that voted for the Baseball Hall of Fame were obviously voting for MVP this year, because you're dead right. Cooper Kupp was the MVP. It wasn't the quarterback that scored 10 points against the Niners, despite having, you know, Pro Bowl offensive line, Devontae Adams, who I'm sure you think is pretty good. Despite all those weapons, you know, 10 points, 10 points, Aaron. The other quarterback that's had him in the race, well, he just lost. He just lost to Cooper Kupp. And, in fact, his team was only relevant because Cooper Kupp made a mistake and dropped the football. Like, that's the only reason they even got into the game. And then he iced him. I thought, what an embarrassing moment for those football writers who never gave a wide receiver a chance all season long, despite all those records, despite the gap between Cooper Kupp and all of his peers. Like, look how deep the wide receiver position is right now in football. And Cooper Kupp, like, lapped the field in every statistical category, and still people went, ah, no wide receiver. That was just a bad one. They got to, you know, this is a spot, Tori, where you are now a media member. You got to find ways into getting media kind of votes here for things. Like this has to be the process, right? Like, this has to be the way that some of these things get corrected. Is it can't be current players, because you guys are too biased. That's how, like, LeBron James ends up with Russell Westbrook, right? It's like, current players, sorry. It's just, you can't. Can't see it. Don't play GM. But when you're done the careers and you look at these things, there just needs to be more of a balance so that stuff doesn't happen. Okay. But now, speaking about the fans, are you a little worried that the Rams fans are going to get embarrassed by Niners fans here? Because this feels like, if I'm guessing, knowing this fan base, that Niners fan base, that stadium could end up, that brand new SoFi could end up being what, 75-80% Niners fans? Like, I feel like we're going to be watching an LA Chargers game here.
You know what? I certainly hope not this time around. I hope the Rams fans, and they will. I think they'll come out, and they'll come out in droves, and they'll be loud this weekend against the San Francisco 49ers. But you have to credit the 49ers, the Chicago Bears, the Green Bay Packers, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Their team, their fans travel really well. They come out and support their team. No matter where they are, they come out and support their team. Now, being that San Francisco and the Rams are obviously on the West Coast, San Francisco fans travel. They travel down, and they showed up in SoFi that last week of the season. It was, at times, I was kind of embarrassed at times. You know, I was watching and listening to that game. I was like, I can't believe it. But I think the Rams fans this weekend will show up in droves. I think they'll be loud. And it'll be a very, very competitive game. Now, will all the San Francisco 49ers fans be out of the state? No, there'll still be quite a few fans there, I'm sure, at the game. But I think the Rams will outpower the, I think the fans will outpower the San Francisco 49ers this weekend. And I think the LA Rams football team will give their fans a lot to cheer about this weekend.
Just before we brought you on, we were talking about Sean Payton and him suddenly leaving the Saints yesterday. What was your level of surprise from that decision? And do you think he waits a year and then joins as another head coach to a different team, such as maybe the Cowboys?
Well, yeah, I mean, when I was talking to my brother yesterday, the first thing I said when he called and told me that Sean Payton was stepping away, I said he wants that Dallas Cowboy job for sure. But I think he probably steps away this year, but he'll get back into coaching. He's not done coaching, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back into coaching. He loves it. He eats it. He drinks it. He sleeps it. This is who Sean Payton is being a coach, being a teacher, being an influencer. He's a winner. He's an excellent offensive coordinator. He's very tough. He's challenging, very competitive. He'll be back in coaching. I just don't think New Orleans is the best place for him. And the reason why, Drew Brees. When you got a quarterback, a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback, someone like Drew Brees, and he's no longer there, I think it's affected Sean Payton more than what he's leaning on. So I think he'll step away. He'll try to put himself in a favorable, very favorable position, someone that has a high-caliber quarterback that he feels that can operate his football team. And when you look at the scenario, I think Dallas presents that more so than Chicago, more so than New York, some of these teams that are looking for coaches. But Sean, there's no question about it, Sean Payton will be back in the coaching. He can't help himself.
Torrey Holt, should be no question you're entering the Pro Football Hall of Fame here in 2022. Thank you so much for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you guys very much. All the best.
Torrey Holt, former NFL wide receiver, former Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver. He mentioned Sean Payton might want to come back to a high caliber quarterback. That Jaguars job, maybe not open anymore. Reports through the night that our guy, Byron Leftwich, is going to be the Jags' next head coach. I know Torrey, it had Torrey overlapped with him there. I would have shoehorned a Jaguars question in there, but
of course,
managed to work it in the show somewhere. Byron Leftwich. Torrey's great. That's what do you guys think of that Rams Niners game? Like, I feel like we spent a lot of time talking about both of those teams as dogs in the last couple of weeks of the season and even early in the playoffs, that it's a little more difficult to frame them as, like, you know, the Rams are slight favorites, but really this is close to a pretty even matchup. JD, how do you see this one? Do you have a feel yet, or are you waiting on Friday for your more official feel?
I don't know how you could possibly bet on the Rams as favorites, considering the fact that I just mentioned McVay is 3-7 in his career and 0-6 in their last six since 2019 against Kyle Shanahan. And I just set it up to Torrey Holt as, is it an oversimplification about the physicality of the Niners versus the Rams? And he went, they struggle with the physicality. This is playoff football. I do not anticipate that is going to change. I would say that I'm more confident in the Rams than I normally would have been, given the way that their offense played last week and the way that Matt Stafford has. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Matt Stafford may have unlocked something within himself after that performance against the Bucks. And I'd be feeling different had he thrown a couple of back-breaking interceptions, but they were really awful fumbles. It's going to be a close game. That's my opinion. It's going to be a close game, but ultimately, if you're asking me how I feel about it, I feel like Kyle Shanahan has Sean McVay's number. And until you prove otherwise, why would I lean in Sean McVay's favor, given the track record? What normally you should throw stuff out, right? That's historical. When we do the whole, the Niners and the Rams have played in this situation 35 times, we just talked about it in regards to playoff numbers and overtimes and how much the game has changed over the last couple of decades. That's not this. These are two coaches straight up, head-to-head, both in winning windows, and one guy has consistently gotten the better of the other one. And that's why I wanted to ask Torrey about the pressure on Sean McVay, and he gave a very player's answer in that it is on everyone, and it is on the team, and it is on Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford, and I understand that, but if Sean McVay loses that game to Kyle Shanahan, you got to think going into the next season, he's at least a little bit on the hot seat. What? How many times can you just lose outright to your biggest divisional rival, your interstate rival, and have it just be, okay, well, if we make a Super Bowl, we just have to hope that we miss them come playoff time? No. So, yeah, this is a massive, massive legacy moment for Sean McVay. He lost to Bill Belichick and got absolutely... Belichick put him in a body bag, straight up. Like, there's no other way to put it. Belichick bodied him in that Super Bowl, and now you have his other coaching rival, who he comes from the same coaching tree, with an ability to put away yet another Super Bowl chance in a year where the Rams are all in and built around star talent and an older quarterback, and the Niners are more flexible with their quarterback position and their roster. It's just, this is a massive moment for that Rams franchise. Massive.
McVay is 5-3 in the playoffs so far. So, you know, 55-26 is a heck of a record over your first five regular seasons. And obviously this Rams team is talented and they're a threat. And, you know, by some advanced metrics, this is, you know, this team's certainly better than the 2019 one, maybe better than last year's team. But yeah, it's similar to the Aaron Rodgers discussion we had of great regular season quarterbacks versus what is the playoff performance in the recent history. And for Rodgers, that wasn't there. And McVay, you know, I'm not there yet, but I do think coaching matters a lot more as we get into the playoffs and especially deeper into the playoffs. And if you come out of this, you know, if you lose this one, you come out of this and you're 5-4, mm-hmm. 2018, even getting to the, even if you want to say, hey, you are a second year head coach and you got Belichicked, you know, 2018 is a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. So, before we take the break and do Wake and Rake, on a day where there are the Leafs and the Raptors, so I do want to leave time. Sean Payton leaving the Saints, to me, he was the coach that was most tied in with his city. And my case for this is simply that Boston sports have been very successful, and they've had multiple coaches over Belichick's run. Obviously, Belichick and the Patriots are intrinsically tied together forever and ever, and Belichick represents New England in a large, like, no question. But he did have a feud with Tom Brady, the greatest football player of all time, and there are some people in New England that are upset about that. There are Boston fans that are upset about that. The Red Sox still feel to me like the team of that area, more so than New. Maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is, but just like, there just are so many successful teams in Boston over Belichick's run that I don't – you can put him in the same conversation as Sean Payton, but Sean Payton is like – he was there through Katrina. He has been the identity coach with the identity player for a city in Drew Brees for well over a decade. And I wonder who you guys think now is the Sean Payton coach around all of professional sports. I won't make you answer it now because it's an on-the-spot – question, but I want you to think about that throughout the show. If you have an answer now, you can blurt it out, but just I felt for the city of New Orleans yesterday where I went, this is a death. This is a loss for them. This is an identity of the city losing Breeze and then losing Sean Payton to that place in successive years is a blow, like a real blow. So I think Sean Payton will definitely take the year off, because it would be too disrespectful to New Orleans for him to just immediately jump back into coaching. He just can't do it. He cannot do it to that city. New Orleans only cares about the Saints. They don't care about the Pelicans. There's nothing that matters with Zion. Zion is story 35 in that city behind, you know, who's going to play special teams next year for the Saints. So, tough one. But now, like, ask yourself that question throughout the show. And if you got one, reach out. You know, text at 590-590. Reach out again. Twitter or Instagram, at JD Bunkus, at Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy. And let us know. Because that was a big one for me yesterday. Sean Payton leaving. Identity coach, identity city, identity team, all of it. Let's take a break. Hoof. Another tough one for the Wake and Rake. But tonight, Leafs and Raptors. Let's set those up. Let's give you some picks. Let's give you some bets. That's next on the Fan Morning Show with JD Bunkus, Blake Murphy, and Ailish Forfar, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. That sounds like something that Blake picked, but I'm the winner from last night, so I should be the one that chooses the music for the Wake and Rake. That's
well,
how
did
we should
send
do it.
One
the
to
winner...
Vic? Or...
Nope.
Did he send one to Vic?
I didn't.
Because mine was, there's a lyric in there that said, I guess you call this regression, which is me chirping myself.
It's hard to tell when they're like,
tough stretch.
Oh,
it's hard to hear the words sometimes.
No, that was great. That was the least blah, blah, blah. You know what? Now my
Nick Campbell has to be the most, has to be the clearest singing pop punk guy that there is. So I think you just were not paying attention and you had a thing you wanted to chirp and didn't listen and missed the context.
You are now getting, Ailish, a full aux chord next time from me of actual metal with the rah-rah voice. Like, you just did that to the listeners. That's your fault now. You know? Now you need to know. Yeah. You need to know what it really is.
Look,
the screams are coming.
Slipknot's coming here in May. So get ready for the May aux chord.
Oh, that's sweet. I wonder if I go to Slipknot. It might be a go-to situation.
Tickets are way too expensive right now. But
yeah, well, everything
speaking
is.
Speaking of tickets.
There you go.
Well, is it time? Speaking of tickets, everybody listen up. Listen up. Turn your dial up loud and clear. You want to go see Zach Brown Band this summer?
That.
You want to go to a little country concert? We're giving away tickets right now to Zach Brown Band All Out in the Middle Tour. That's what it's called. All week long. But right now, you can win a pair of tickets to Friday, June 3rd's concert at Budweiser Stage. All you have to do is be caller number 5 right now at 416-870-0590 or 1-888-666-0590 or *590. And you can go see Zach Brown Band June 3rd, Budweiser Stage. We'll be giving away tickets for 2 more days this week. So call in right now and you could be going.
I desperately want to go to that show.
So call in right now. Caller number 5.
I will say this, though. I thought when you said... Speaking of tickets, you were going to say the only one of us who cashed our tickets yesterday, Ailish Forfar.
As well.
Another tough one for Wake and Rake. Another tough one in the sense of what I consider to be a bad beat for me, where Denver has the cover all game long, and then just the last little bit of the game, all of a sudden I get the Blake text where he goes, are you paying attention to Denver? It's a sweat now. I'm like, Blake, why? You know, why? Why me? That's it. Blake's blowout
fashion.
I was
just trying to keep you in the loop.
I know. But it was one of those ones where, again, I was watching something else. I'm checking out Anthony Davis at this point. I'm like, oh, what's up? And then, boom, that. Oof. Just painful. Painful loss. Blake, another game that goes against you in blowout fashion.
Not even close.
Ailish, winner, winner, chicken dinner. Like,
winner, winner, chicken dinner, baby.
Way to carry the team because how many – what I wanted to ask you, Blake,
someone's
got to. Well, yeah. How many times have we ever gone? Have we ever gone 0-3 as a group? Has that happened yet?
We have not. No.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Save and your bacon.
You did, Ailish. Thank you. See, that's the thing. I wasn't even afraid of the chirps because I just never want to go 0-3. The day we go 0-3 is the day I'm truly sad. Now, I will say this in terms of the so Ailish gave out a winner yesterday. I was dead wrong on the Charlotte read. I thought Charlotte would keep this game close. I thought that Charlotte would be a really tough out for the Raptors. When I saw Fred VanVleet and Scottie Barnes out of that game, you better believe that somebody live bet Charlotte when the Raptors jumped out to that early lead and then even lost more money. But the same thing continues to be true, is that there are just so good prop opportunities. We keep saying this with the Raptors in these games. And it's something, again, to monitor tonight where I'll start with Raptors since they played yesterday. And since we have been better at the NBA, I would say, in general than the NHL, and I kind of like the other side tonight with the Leafs and Ducks in terms of a value play. But tonight, if they don't have Scottie Barnes and they do not have Fred VanVleet, the prop opportunities, yet again, just from a volume standpoint, for Gary Trent Jr., for Pascal Siakam, and OG Anunoby are just undeniable. Like, they're just must-plays in prop parlays for me and bet builders on Coolbet.
So last night, well, yesterday when we were doing Wake and Rake, I bet a Pascal over 39.5 points, assists, rebounds, which hit, an OG over 5.5 rebounds, a Gary Trent over points, and a Scottie Barnes because he wasn't out at that point. And it was like plus 1,000. Yeah. I put $10 on that. And then it just voided, which was so unfortunate because I hit 3 out of the 4. And then when I found out he was out of the game, I tried to go in and make another parlay with those 3 things that I just mentioned. But they weren't, I wasn't able to make a parlay. They took all the Raptors off the board and it was only the other guys. So I was so close to cashing in on that bet, but Scotty Barnes late scratch.
Same thing happened to me. And it's a bummer too, because often when that happens, it freezes, the book freezes. And yeah, so you end up running out of time. And unless you're sitting there like a complete hardo, just staring down the line and waiting for it to change. And I'll be honest, like I thought the book got it wrong. The game only, when Scotty Barnes went out, the line swung to Hornets -1.5. And I didn't bet that because I just didn't think that that was very friendly. And I thought maybe you'd get a better price if the Raptors got one little mini lead, which is what happened. They got a huge lead and I bet them. But yeah, it didn't pan out last night. But okay, let's go into tonight. I'm just doing the same thing. I'm playing a volume based prop play of combining what will be Siakam points, Siakam assists, Gary Trent Jr. points, and maybe three-pointers over with Gary Trent. But like you saw yesterday, it's not just threes right now. If anything, it's just more points volume. So I'd be just taking the points. And I'll be playing OG Anunoby points as well. Like I'll be taking those three guys and playing those overs, maybe teasing them down a couple of points in the bet builder on Cool Bet. But that remains the same play for me. Blake, is there anything tonight? Raptors down, I think they're 4.5-point dogs, last I checked, to the Chicago Bulls. Back-to-back, second leg, short bench. This feels like a tough one to bet the Raptors on the line anyways, even given where Chicago's at injury-wise, no?
We just don't know enough about Fred and Scotty. Like, both of those things sound like day-to-day, but Gary Trent was day-to-day for 2 weeks. So we don't really have a feel on that. On the Bulls side, DeMar's expected back. Zach LaVine's back. Vucevic is probable. So they are missing Lonzo Ball, Alex Crusoe, Patrick Williams, DJJ. Those are guys. Those are rotation pieces for them. And Ball and Caruso, that's a lot of backcourt pressure. But you know what's what helps if you're missing your two best defensive guards? Playing a team with no point guards. So if Fred VanVleet's out, that's a swing one there. This is, until we get a Raptors injury report, this is a no play for me or a props only. I hit a nice little bet builder on the Raps game last night too that kind of covered my butt for some of the losses elsewhere. This one, until we know what's up with Fred and Scotty, 4.5 is, I'm not getting enough juice there until I know what's up with those two guys.
Ailish, so anything you like to
just the same props that hit for me last night. I think even more so, like as soon as they're out, I'm pounding them, but I might be a little bit cautious to add Scotty Barnes into it this time around, just cause we don't know, but Pascal, Gary Trent, OG, something with those three. I think it'll be a good night for them.
Well, Blake, can I just ask you quickly though, because again, you're pretty plugged in with this team and what is your impression? Like, you're right, Scotty's, especially since it was such a late scratch and it was a wrist, that feels like there's more of a chance he plays. Just as an outsider to this, but just swollen knee, the second night of a back-to-back, it still feels pretty less likely that Fred VanVleet would play. No, like if you are looking to, because I always say there's an opportunity right now, right? Like if you don't think Fred VanVleet is going to play, then I think you do bet the Bulls, right? Because if he's officially ruled out, then maybe this line ends up swelling up to maybe 6.5. It moves. Fred VanVleet yesterday was worth a couple of points, right? The Raptors were favored. He gets ruled out, and it swings the line. Scotty Barnes, I believe, was only worth 1 point, but to me, that was more of a cumulative effect. What's your read on just the likelihood in which Fred plays? I know that's kind of tough because you are a reporter, and I'm guessing you don't like to play these games, but man, swollen knee, then second night of a back-to-back, that just doesn't feel like a thing you do.
Yeah, so, I mean, well, the back-to-back thing is moot because Scotty and Fred didn't play last night. So it's not a back-to-back for them, really. It's more about the other guys. Without saying too much, I don't think the Fred thing is super serious. But, yeah, like, it's tough because the All-Star votes are coming up. Like, that's a real factor here, right? That's a real thing that matters to guys.
And it's in Chicago where he's from, and, like, this is a place where he historically will want to play. Yeah.
I'd probably lean toward – and it's against DeMar. Like, I'd probably lean towards Fred playing. Kem's a no-go. Kem's still a while away. The Scotty Barnes red flag for me, even though that was a late addition to the injury report, he didn't even do his post-shoot-around shooting yesterday. Like, his wrist was that sore that he didn't even go through his shooting warm-up and then didn't go through a full pregame thing. He showed up basically and they were like, let's not push it. So that one's a little weirder. Like, I wouldn't be, they're both traveling, But I wouldn't be shocked if Nick tells us today that they sent Scotty for imaging on that wrist just in case. Because, again, not good enough to shoot, not good enough to do your pregame warmups. So as much as that sounds day-to-day and as much as those guys are traveling on this six-day trip, I don't know. We're working off imperfect information here. So, again, that's why it's a weight play for me.
Yep, and I'm glad you said it, and I like it because you just made me realize two things. One is that I do now believe that it's less likely that Scotty plays. I'm definitely not trying to jump the line in thoughts that Fred is out. And now my brain is on this, which is Fred maybe had a bit of a swollen knee, was a little tired, and he knew that a game against his Bulls was coming up, against DeMar was coming up, and that if Fred can go against a major market team like the Chicago Bulls and have a big night, that it is going to be maybe the nail in the coffin for his All-Star vote. And if Fred plays tonight, which maybe not, but if he plays tonight, I'm going to be teasing the point total up. I'm going to be teasing Fred, and I will be doing a Fred VanVleet takes a lot of shots tonight. Fred VanVleet goes all out tonight. The rest of the guys maybe a little tired from the night before. Who knows? Fred get the night off, feels a little bit better about himself. He's against his Bulls, guys from Rockford. I've been to a Raptors Bulls game, and I have sat in a section where there are multiple people who came in from Chicago, including family members, a brother of his that looks a lot like him. And I'm just saying, like, I know that this would mean a lot for him to perform well in this game, given the contingency that travels to Toronto for his performances. So, yeah, I'll take Fred over if he plays tonight, yeah, even with the injury stuff.
Also, yeah, Chicago, just what a place to watch a game. I got the media seats there are baseline, which is just, I mean, it's not like the best view, but for the vibes, it's incredible.
It's a weird
let's, before
media,
we lock in Wake and Rake picks.
It's like the...
I know. I thought it was strange too, but I'm never going to complain about being closer. Nah, I'm never going to complain about being
closer. You're right.
Memphis is still the gold standard. Memphis, you're basically sitting in the Devlin seats as media, which is great. But this is the thing. The worse a team you go to, the better the seats. So before we lock in Wake and Rake stuff, let's pivot the Leaf lines just to set it up. The Leafs are hosting the Anaheim Ducks tonight. Anaheim Ducks coming off a four-game losing streak, but they've won two in a row since then. They seem to have shaken it off. Six guys on the injury report, but nothing too red flaggy. John Gibson is projected to start, and we know Jack Campbell starting on the other side. Leafs a monster -280 money line. We've talked a lot about the price inelasticity on favorites in hockey the last little while. Ducks at +230. We can get into some of the regulation or puck line stuff, but -270, no way.
No, it's silly. And I know you mentioned they're on a two-game winning streak. They smashed the Lightning 5-1 and the Bruins 5-3. So, like, they didn't just beat, you know, the Coyotes and the Canucks. Like, they actually have played some really significant games and some big wins. So, I don't see – like, the value is on the Ducks big time, but I also think that I don't see the Leafs, like, dominating this game. They've got their whole new lineup that we talked about. Rosters upside down. They're trying all these new lines out. I mean, I feel like it's an opportunity if you want to – if you want to bet the value is on the Ducks for sure.
The value is very clearly on the Ducks. There's just not, you can't even debate that. So I'm not advocating for people to play Anaheim here, but a lot of why hockey is in some ways the best sport to bet. And it's sometimes the worst because it's such a coin toss game. It's kind of like baseball where, you know, just any given night in a baseball game, you go, this is really hard to project and similar, but hockey does give you gambling edges from a number standpoint that are not the same as football, for example. When you're betting a football game, those lines are bet to perfection. That's why when you watch those games, you go, how do they get this point total down to a science? Their numbers, the equations that they use, the money that comes in on those games, it's an exact science. Hockey is just not that. And so I'm sorry, but Blake will have the number of what the actual probable outcome of that type of a favorite is. That doesn't happen in a hockey game between two good teams. Here's the only red flag I have for the Ducks. They play tomorrow against Montreal, and I'm guessing that they might be thinking that is a layup win for us. I could just see a scenario where they go down in this game and they go, hey, don't worry, we're going to get the back-to-backs. We did just beat those two good teams. But also, reason to bet the Ducks to counter it. What is it? Iron sharpens iron, steel sharpens steel. What was it like? The Ducks just played the Avalanche, the Lightning, and the Bruins. And now they're going to face the Leafs, who have been walking through now a tough game against the Rangers on the road, whatever, Islanders game, but a pretty gapped out schedule. Yeah, Blake, you just said it. Line suggests 75% win probability. I don't think the Leafs win 75% of their games against basically any team other than the Montreal Canadiens. So, yeah, certainly a competent team like the Ducks, it suggests that that is the value there. So, Ducks are the value. I think if you play this game, to me, this is an over total, given that the Ducks did just score 10 goals in their last two games and where the Leafs' offense is right now. So, also a little bit of a shaky Jack Campbell spot where I assume he's going to get the net tonight and he has not been his usual self. Maybe the Mrazek start got in his head a little bit. I don't know. Something to monitor. But if anything tonight, the over six, being able to get that same thing, 3-3 tie, going into overtime, hitting the over, the 4-2 game with an empty net goal, I like the total in this one.
Ailish, how are we feeling player goals or player props wise? Anything stand out to you? I know it's not a big X game, but
no, I checked. No X's really that I know of. No, I don't know. Like Matthews has been good, Marner's been good, but I'm not feeling too set on any of those yet. But Marner has been sneaky good value in terms of goals. When has he scored in the last couple games? Like Matthews is minus money. Yeah, yeah, Matthews is minus money to score, like minus 137.
But that's because he's averaging more than the goal a game.
Right, but so Marner has been on a little bit of a hot streak, but consider that there's these new lines too. So I might take some time to look through the lines and see who might be, like, is it Akasha getting on the top line plus 230 to get a goal? I could see that. And a Bunting plus 225 to get a goal. I could definitely see that. That's probably what I would do, is pick someone a little bit off the top core four to get a goal if I'm looking for a little extra value.
Blake, I know you like hearing that.
Kasha's a Ducks X. Vic just told me that. Oh, I'm smashing that. Let's go.
Plus 230 to score.
Let's go. Hey, boom. Put my money in.
I was just going to say it to you is, if Andre Kasha does play on the Leafs top line tonight with Austin Matthews, and he is facing a former Ducks team of his, that has to be a bet for you, is the plus 230 for Andre Kasha.
I just did it already.
Yeah, like it's
yeah, I'm me too. Wait. I did the Ailish of, that sounds good off the top. Let's lock it in.
Yeah, let's lock it in. Okay, so that's one of our show bets today. Not for the Wake and Rake, but it is definitely a play for all of us, right? Kasha goal plus 230.
Plus 300 on my secret site.
Okay, whoa. Plus 300 for Akasha goal is very juicy. Boom. Again, it's going to suck, though, if they do announce that he's not on that top line.
No, he's on there. We're going to will it to happen.
We're going to will it to happen? Okay, well, Kasha, plus 230 right now. Maybe that line moves, maybe something else. But, yeah, I think it's a Ducks value play night. But, again, I never advocate usually for that kind of an outcome unless I really believe it. So it's a lean for me, not a play. And then I'll probably play the Leafs goal total over. I think that this is going to be a night where there's probably six goals. This feels like a six-goal night. I think you're getting a little bit of value based on the name brand recognition of these two goaltenders and the way that the Ducks can play, but not the way that they have played in their last few games. So let's lock in our picks, the Wake and Rake. Blake mentioned them, the gold standard of media watching experiences, also the gold standard of my betting life right now. The Memphis Grizzlies, minus 4.5 against the San Antonio Spurs. I'm debating, based on your guys' picks, whether I'm going to lay those points or play the money line, but I lost yesterday, and which makes me more cowardly. Minus 175 does work. The Spurs aren't very good, and I like Memphis. And if they have any pride for Memphis barbecue versus San Antonio barbecue, they're going to come through and absolutely smash it. This is a rivalry game for the city of Memphis. Blake, is there an injury I need to know about here? Because this line actually feels like
that was my pick too, JD.
Oh, it's way too short.
It was also mine.
Okay,
so,
well,
we got a sweep on the Grizzlies here. There are injuries. San Antonio's on a back-to-back, but they blew out, like, they didn't play any of their key guys from the middle of the third quarter on last night. So it's not as arduous a one, and they're at home. On the Memphis side, Slo-Mo and Dylan Brooks are still out. Bane and Brandon Clark are questionable. So I lean here toward money line with those two guys questionable. You know, it projects as about a 58% win for Memphis, which, you know, on the money line is fine, especially in a parlay piece. So I like that one. There are the injury red flags with Bane and Clark, but Memphis is the deepest team in the NBA.
Yeah. I love Memphis here. I'm sorry that I ended up going first. I'm willing to.
That's okay.
But here's the thing. I'm always willing to pass that pick over and go with another if
I got one.
You guys would prefer. Okay, you got one. What do you got?
Okay, so yeah, that was my first choice, but I'm going to go Suns. Wow,
Grizzlies better win tonight because that goes over three if they lose now. That counts as our first over
three.
Okay.
I'm going to go Suns minus 4.5 over the Jazz.
Okay.
Okay, before you lock in 4.5 instead of the money line, this is I like the one the Suns just beat the Jazz. This one's back in Utah, so it's a little different there. But no Rudy Gobert and no Donovan Mitchell, so you're down your two most important regular season players if you're Utah. And yes, I use a regular season qualifier for you there, JD. On the Suns side, though, Ayton, Crowder, Kaminsky, McGee, Payne. A lot of injuries on the Suns side. They're deep. No McGee means that Bismack is probably starting. Yeah. I'm going to be all over a Bismack double-double if that's up because Chris Paul has been Kyle Lowry-ing him. He just can't feed him enough, I might go money line on that one rather than the spread just because of the number of injuries.
It's minus 185, though, and I felt like that was kind of cheating.
It's not. Well, the game is under minus 200.
Okay. Yeah. It's also like we just outlined they have seven guys out. It's not a it's not a bet without risk. So you can keep it Suns minus 4.5 if you would like. But
Dealer's choice. If you're listening, dealer's choice.
Okay, but you have to pick one for the spreadsheet just because like if they win by three, then I'm not gonna know if it's a win or a loss.
Mm-hmm. Well then you just pick whichever one.
No, you pick whichever one.
No.
I'm too cold right now to pick someone else's.
You are jinxing this pick. Like I'm just telling you.
Okay, I'm doing the on the line. Minus 4.5. Let's go.
Okay, minus 4.5. I like it. I like the boldness.
Yep, let's do it.
So
get that value.
I for the first time in the history of the Wake and Rake, I've lost 3 of 4. It's the first time I've lost 3 of anything. In the history of the Wake and Rake in any short amount of time. Those 3 losses, by the way, were all basketball. The teams have combined to shoot 23% on threes in those games. The last night,
listen, your losses have been so bad that they count as more than the losses. Like, it's not like you're losing. But you're getting smoked.
Win-lose is binary. Win-lose is binary.
No, not in this case. Not when your teams are losing by 20 points.
Well, that was last night, but the Purdue one was a buzzer beat.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But the Florida one was a blowout, and then this one was a blowout.
23%. It's killing me. It's, I'm not having a good time.
Cut out, or was that me?
I think Blake is cutting out. I think Blake's got a little bit of a technical
I think he's
issue,
doing that on purpose because he's nervous about his pick.
Like, he's like unplugging his Wi-Fi.
Can you guys hear me?
Now we can.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
What's your pick, buddy? What's your pick? You just did a little bitchy thing. It's okay.
Sorry about that. Oh, yes, I'm going to go with the – yes, I will. I am apologizing to you. Because the teams that I've been betting on have been shooting 23% on threes, I'm going to take a night off from basketball. I'm going to go with the Washington Capitals. Against the San Jose Sharks. Sharks are really struggling. Capitals come in at just under 200. It's not a
minus 210. What do I do?
Well, not on mine.
I got minus 196 on Coolbet. 196 on Coolbet. That's
click it.
The one.
Yeah. This line projects, or this game projects, depending on who starts the net for the Capitals, somewhere between 67% and 69% for the Capitals. I need a win here. I'm not going for value. I'm going for highest probability outcome today. So I'm locking in the Capitals. I need a W. For me, hockey model. All right. So our Wake and Rake is the Washington Capitals, the Phoenix Suns minus 4.5, and the Memphis Grizzlies. The first ever, I think, unanimous Wake and Rake pick. A couple other good NBA lines out there tonight. We got 10 games, 5 games in the NHL. Do not touch college basketball, Blake.